Is the Terry saga squashing your vibe? Like, we had a caller say that yesterday. I do understand, like, oh, man, get this over with. Let's stop talking about it. It's boring. It's frustrating. It is, you know, it's something that's concerning. But, man, for me to take that next step of, like, killing the vibe of the season, it's not for me. It might be for some of you, and that's what I'm asking. 301-230-0980. Has the Terry situation affected, squashed, impacted the excitement that you have for the upcoming season? This could go on right in, you know, up until the opener. He's keep saying this. And I understand that I'll look really stupid, as I did before training camp began, that they didn't get a deal done in the first place. But if he holds out, man, that would be a stunner to me. There is just nothing to gain unless he's praying that the team looks absolutely horrible without him, or that four receivers go down with injuries and then the team has no other choice. I don't think that even in that scenario, the team will succumb to what his desire is. You know, he wants to see an annual average of three something before. Maybe they can figure out something to make it look that way for him. But the team, I think, is pretty adamant that, A, they don't have to do this, and they're doing it anyway. They're giving him a chance to put a lot of money into his pocket. Last best chance, too. If he thinks, and if his agent thinks, that the chances of signing a deal next year for $50 to $60 million guaranteed, is the chances of that are really good, they're delusional. This is the opportunity. I think that's why Terry will ultimately give in and a deal will get done. I still believe that. But that's not the question. The question is it impacting your excitement level, the vibe around the upcoming season? For me, it's not. As long as Five's on the field, I can't wait to see what this team is. I can't wait to see what this team is defensively. I think Frankie Louvu is going to have a big season. I think there's a really good chance Johnny Newton has a big season. I like what Dorrance Armstrong did at the end of last year, hearing good things about him. I still think Duran's got a chance to have a 2022 season at still just 28 years old. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing the rookie corner. Man, Smoot is a massive fan. Sean Springs, a massive fan. After just watching him up close in camp, they say he looks the part. So no, it's not killing my vibe. I want it to get done. I want him to be a part of the team. I'd love to see him get a contract extension, but it's not killing the vibe for me. Let's start with Anthony. Anthony, go ahead.
I'm not there yet, but it's getting close. And the reason I say that is, if we were on the original trajectory of what we thought was going to be a brick by brick building process, then I wouldn't give a damn either way.
Right.
But we're Super Bowl intentional.
Yep.
That's the reason, at least for me, that's the reason why I want this done. You had a caller come on yesterday, said everybody's emotional about this. I'm not emotional about it. Super Bowl, that's the only indicator of why I want this done. Like I said, if we were 4-11 last year or whatever, wouldn't be a big deal. Go to the draft this potential replacement. But since we're on this path to the Super Bowl,
right,
I want this done as soon as possible.
But you're expressing,
you,
Anthony, more concern about not being able to take advantage of this Super Bowl window season. That's not the question. The question is your excitement level about the upcoming season being impacted by this long impasse holdout?
Yes, because he's not in a position to play yet. Once he's on the field, I'll feel a little bit better. But until he's on the field, no, I'm not. It's not the same. Like I said, I'm not totally there, but
right,
it's getting there. And one more thing.
Yep.
you keep seeming to imply that he's going to be the one to get the franchise tag. Why wouldn't it be somebody else?
Yeah, I don't. It's not a guarantee. I'm just saying that the team would have the flexibility to use the tag next year. Yes, I mean, I
understand that.
Yeah, I mean, Debo Samuel may have a season in which they'd want to use it on him, although I think that their deal with him, I don't think they're able to use the tag on him. I could be wrong about that for whatever reason. I'll ask Ben about that.
Aren't Tunzo and Luvu up next year?
Luvu's got one more year. You know, he signed the 3-year deal, but you're going to have to sign him, you know, in the offseason, if he has the year that we're all anticipating. He's going to need to get an extension. So will Tunsil. Tunsil will have a year left. He's got his contract through the 2026 season. So you're not; those are not tag candidates. Yeah, but the tag candidate could be somebody like a Debo if they're able to use it on him. But Terry's the most likely, Anthony. You know, but doesn't mean they'd have to use it on him. Thanks for the call, as always. Let's go to Steve and Frederick. Steve, is the Terry McLaurin holdout saga impacting the vibe, impacting your excitement level for the upcoming season?
Yes, they're not getting better, okay? Every day they're supposed to be getting better, they're not getting better. To me, the team has a style, the way they negotiate, and all the veterans that they brought back, they give them a base salary and they give them a bunch of incentives to play like a superstar and to be paid like a superstar. When you look at Terry, he has some issues in separation, and basically it comes down to greed. He's basically getting paid $300,000 a catch. I'll let you think about that and leave now, but thank you for your time.
Yeah, but that's the nature of sports now. It's the nature of the position, and he's not the only one, and it's probably on the low end in terms of what his per-catch number is. But thanks for the call. Yeah, again, you know, and I put the question out on Twitter at Kevin Sheehan DC, and I'm looking at some of the responses right now. The question is, like, is it killing your excitement level? Like, if let's just pretend he did hold out for a moment, would you be less excited? Would the start of the season and the Giant game be less exciting for you? It wouldn't be for me. I'd be concerned. I'd be frustrated that he's not out there, but it wouldn't kill the vibe for me. It wouldn't. Kenny is calling from Charlotte. Is this Terry McLaurin saga killing the vibe about the upcoming season for you? Yes or no?
I wouldn't say it's killing it, but I would say it's on life support, man. You know, and the reason why I say that is because it's just agonizing, you know, to day after day continue to hear about this thing. And I liken it to I'm more irritated with the organization. And I know that's probably kicking against the pricks, even though I believe in them and I trust in them. I'm still irritated with them because it's like, you know, the teacher trying to get the student on board and then also get the parent on board, too. There's all kinds of ways to structure this deal, in my opinion, all kinds of various ways and that you can structure a deal to get this man on board. And it's like both people just have their heels dug in. So, like, who's the teacher and who's the student? You know what I mean? It's like this unnecessary standoff, and it is starting to kill my vibe because, okay, is this going to happen every year with different players? Are we going to have to go through this every season? That's where I'm almost getting to right now. But come September, I'm on board. I'm ready to go. Got my wings ready. And I want
well,
to see
you
Bob
go.
Do his thing, but
yeah. So it's not like you're gonna feel any less excited about the opener against the Giants. You might be a little bit more leery. You might be a little bit more concerned. We'll all be dialed in to what they do offensively. But again, that's a scenario that
but
I just started
to
paint out. That's not possible. It is possible, but Terry's going to be there. That's a heavy odds favorite. He's going to be there.
I'll say this and then I'm out. But I will say, you know how like when stuff happens after the fact and you be like, see, I told you, you know, nope. I will be like that if things go bad. I will be like, see, See?
But again, those are two different things, because I am concerned. I'm concerned that he's not in camp right now getting the work and getting into sync with everybody offensively, and how that could impact the start of the season anyway, you know, the very start of the season, his health, you know. So yeah. I am concerned about that, but I'm not going to be any less excited about the regular season opener against the Giants and about that Thursday night game against Green Bay, because this thing's gone on this long. This is a part of the league. This happens with a lot of teams, and you just typically don't get all worked up about it unless your team's supposed to be good, which it's better to be in this position than have it be, you know, a holdout for a team that's supposed to win seven games next year. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it as always. Let's go to Bones. Bones, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Shout out to my main man, Max. Kevin, I told you a long time ago, man, that this was killing my vibe, man. You know, this thing is really blowing me, man, because
you never seem to have a spirit, Bones, in which the vibe and the spirit around you could be diminished, could be killed. I don't believe that.
Hey, Kevin, I've been watching this stuff, man, since the 60s, man. I know how them contract talks can get, man. You know, them things are very ugly, man, you know. And, man, right now, it ain't buzzing, man. You know, I'm talking about, man, with a point where you got a player might hold out 2-3 regular season games, man, before he do get signed. You know what I mean? I done seen it, man. I done seen it before, man. So that's why, man, it's a vibe killer for me. You know, I done already done the research. Thanks for taking my
You always do the research. You do the research. That's for sure. Thanks, Bones. Appreciate it. Let's go to Matt in Fort Washington. Matt, is this Terry saga killing your vibe about the upcoming season?
How you doing, Kevin? Love the show. So, no, it's not killing my vibe, just because anytime JD5 is going to be suited up, I mean, it's the guarantee that you're going to be excited, especially what he did last year with the pieces that he had. I'm already going to be excited anyway. It's not going to change the barometer for me at all. But I wanted to give you a little bit of a different perspective on the Terry contract. What if Adam Peters and the front office aren't giving him the contract that he wants because they want him to play his best ball within the next 2 years? If you give him a contract right now, then there's no incentive for him to go out and ball out like there's no tomorrow. But if he's earning those checks, if he's playing like every down is his last down, then you're going to get the best Terry you can get for JD5. And then in 2 years, that's 2 years of JD5 that he has underneath his belt, and maybe you're not reliant so much on a Terry or Debo. You have a Patrick Mahomes.
Matt, we've kind of talked about how because Terry's such a pro, and because he'll have every incentive to go out and have a big year this year if he's playing out the final year of his deal, there's a lot financially where it makes sense for the team to not give him $50 to $60 million out of pocket up front, but to pay as they go and evaluate as they go. So there is that. Look, I think that the reason the team was interested in a contract extension is because they want Terry to be a comfortable, happy player beyond just this year and next, but maybe even into 2027 on a deal that would be very team friendly at that point. I think that there is some acknowledgement about Terry's value beyond just on the field. Again, I think one of the ways to look at this is, and I have not looked at it this way, I will admit that, and I'm not going to give you all of the reasons why I'm looking at it this way for the first time now, but in many ways, they are giving him something and an opportunity at something that they don't have to do. They just don't have to do it. He's under contract. He's entering age 30. They're heavy on analytics as it relates to age and the position. They understand that after 2026, there's a chance that his performance starts to dip, and maybe drastically. And they've got him under contract for one of the next 2 years, and they have the ability to keep him on the team in 2026 at less money than what he wants or what they're even willing to perhaps give to him on a franchise tag when you average it over 2 years. So, I think that that's part of it. But, look, for some people, it's off-putting. It's off-putting that they're treating him this way. And what I'm suggesting is at least look at it from maybe their standpoint, where they don't have to offer him 28, 25, 26, 27, 28 million a year and give him 50 to 60. They don't have to do that. It's probably not in necessarily the obvious best interest. It's debatable. Anyway, Matt, anything else?
No, and just to say also, I mean, it goes into what the front office is currently doing. You know, they brought in Hall of Famers, Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz. They didn't give these guys massive, massive contracts like they did in the past. They gave them reasonable contracts, and they're like, you guys are pieces to this puzzle. But ultimately, the prize, the W, is JD5. And, again, Terry is going to be a piece of that puzzle. Now, if we were talking about, you know, a quarterback who's the best, you know, the greatest position on the field, that's a different story. But for it to be a wide receiver, an aging wide receiver, we're going to pay you what you're worth, and we might sprinkle a little razzle-dazzle because, you know, you've been with us so long. But our focus is on developing and making sure that JD5 has what he needs to succeed. That's all I got, Kevin. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, you know, John alluded to something yesterday when he was on with me that I think there's, again, in addition to maybe at least trying to look at it from their side, which is they don't have to offer him $50 million guaranteed, but they are anyway. The other thing, too, is, you know, for all that Terry wants based on his contribution before this regime got here, this regime is also probably saying, look, you know, all due respect, we weren't here for that. We elevated the franchise. We picked Jaden Daniels. He elevated your performance. You benefited significantly because we're here. So that's a big part of that as well. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Yes, it's killing the vibe for me. To do this to your second best player, your captain, your longest tenured player.
What are they doing to him?
Kevin, we all understand he's under contract. You don't need to keep repeating this.
Well, I think I do. Because a lot of people think that he's not going to play if they don't sign him to a contract extension.
He could hold out a game or two, just like Tom referenced a while ago with Emmitt Smith. Look, we understand how NFL contracts work on both sides. The team can cut him at when they want, and the player holds out the year before, just like Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson, James Cook did, all these guys. But my biggest point is, okay, the team wants to offer X, Terry wants Y, and we as fans want to see a compromise and get this done. My point is, what is the juice worth the squeeze? This is not a...
They clearly think it is for the reasons that John laid out and some of those reasons we've talked about. Precedent being a big part of it.
But when you do this, again, it's amazing watching the teams that have these holdouts, right? Most of them aren't the Super Bowl contenders. I went up and down Philly's roster the last 3 years. Not one holdout. Not one.
Well, wait a minute. They ended up trading what's his face, the DB, because he wasn't happy.
Right, which is a much better move. If you don't want to be here, we will move on.
Yeah, but there was a long drawn out. Why am I forgetting who the player was?
I know exactly. I don't have it off the tip of my tongue, but the point is, when you're building a team, right, they have a Super Bowl window. They're a Super Bowl contender. He is a crucial piece to you winning this year. We all agree that he's not Jefferson or Chase or these guys. But we also understand that you don't have a plan B. If you guys didn't want Terry, sign a better
one. They don't need a plan B.
Aging Debo Samuel. Okay, Kevin, again.
Do you want me to repeat it again? He's under contract.
No, Kevin. Kevin, okay, so say he holds out for two games, and they go 0-2 in those two games.
Right.
And then he signs the deal at, say, $29 million. He comes back, and the team goes X and Y, and they miss the playoff by two games.
Right.
Will that juice have been worth the squeeze for anybody?
It wouldn't be. But I don't think they feel like that's going to be the scenario that plays out. Because it would be really incredibly expensive and potentially self-sabotaging if he were to hold out games.
It worked out for Emmitt Smith.
Different situation. They were Super Bowl champions.
Right, which is even, we were NFC title participants. Like, my point is, Kevin, I think what I'm trying to get at is...
By the way, comparing Emmitt Smith to Terry McLaurin is a bit hyperbolic, don't you think?
Of course.
Okay.
But Kevin, you would agree that Terry's your second best player, right?
I think maybe Luvu is, but it's debatable, yes. He's either the second or the third best player on the team.
Okay, and we can at least objectively agree he's the second best player on offense. So if you need him to help Jaden Daniels win games on offense because its defense isn't expected to be great or elite or whatever, wouldn't you want to have him every minute of every day
working? Yes, and I'm going to because he's under contract.
Right, but he's not there now, Kevin.
He's not. That's the one drawback to this, but that's part him. That it's not just them. It's him, too.
I understand, but per Jeremy Fowler, their offer, even by your logic, was low.
So yeah, at 23. Like, 25 with the ability to go to 28. 28, to me, makes sense. $50 million guaranteed. But Terry, I don't think comes down to that.
That's a big if. I don't think they've offered 28, like you said.
I don't know what they've offered or not. John had it yesterday in his story that a league source says the team would be willing, more likely than not, to go up to $28 million per year, which would probably be somewhere between $50 and $55 million guaranteed. But the question is, will Terry be willing to give, you know, a lot more than they would be, you know, giving themselves by coming up? And the answer might be no. And so it's both.
It might be.
Both have to figure out if they really want, you know. But the team playing hardball with him, look, there are some downsides to this. I'm not saying it's clean. I mean, this is what was always going to be, it was going to be tricky going into it. I'm just telling you that they don't have to do this. They don't have to offer him a contract extension. He's under contract. And people who have wanted them to be adult-like, heavy on analytics, tougher, etc., that's what they're doing here. You don't like that they're doing it with the second-best player. It's not an unreasonable position. I'm not saying that it is or isn't, but don't put it in terms of they're going to have him or not have him, because it's a 90% chance they're going to have him when the games begin. It would be better to have him right now, understood. But he's got to play. If he were 26, he could hold out and say, I'm going to have an opportunity to get this. But he's not. This is his last best. Would you agree with that, Ian? Last best opportunity to put $50 to $60 million in his pocket?
I absolutely agree with that. And, Kevin, if I could add one thing. Your wife's a realtor, right?
Yes.
And she sells a house in Potomac. She looks at the comps, just like any realtor. If there is a house that was sold at an absurd valuation, she doesn't say, oh, that's a bad deal. Let's ignore that comp. We understand that DK Metcalf was a bad deal.
If you're everybody the seller, you certainly don't ignore that comp. If you're the buyer, you can ignore it. You can talk about the context around it. So, anyway.
But my point is, with the DK Metcalf deal happening, we agree it's an outlier and probably not the smartest deal. But if you're Terry and his side, you absolutely are like, look at what this organization paid. And I understand that he was traded and not under contract. We all get that.
And but 2 years younger and maybe better in the eyes of most general managers. I gotta go. There is a shelf life for you. I love you, but there's a shelf life for you, and I got to move on. Everybody on hold, stay there. The question, simply put, is Terry killing the vibe? The Terry situation, contract impasse, is it killing your excitement level entering the 2025 season? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, here's what's happening on this Thursday, August 14th. Couple of teams being sold around the world of sports. The NBA has approved the sale of the Boston Celtics to the private equity group led by Bill Chisholm for a record $6.1 billion, making it the biggest sale of a franchise in sports history, eclipsing the Josh Harris Group $6.05 billion that they paid for the Washington Commanders. And Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon is purchasing the Portland Trailblazers from the estate of Paul Allen for an estimated $4.25 billion to baseball, the Nats. They avoid the sweep last night, beat the Kansas City Royals by a score of 8-7. Jake Irvin with a rough start to the day, only 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, and give up 6 earned runs. Fortunately, the Nats were able to jump out to an early 5-run lead and put it away in the top of the ninth with a Dalen Lyle RBI single. Tonight, they come home to take on the Phillies. First pitch at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.